direction was to always think of Krishna, remember Krishna and chant his holy names. So Vrindavan is a place which is imbued with the thoughts of Lord Krishna, and each and every place is a place of pastime of Lord Krishna, where if a person goes to Vrindavan, unless the person is so deep in Maya, he can't but think about Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan and he set for Vrindavan, but by some trick, transcendental trickery of Nityananda Prabhu, he brought him to Shantipur. And while in Shantipur, all the devotees from Mayapur, they had come to see the darshan, to take darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was now, previously Nimai Pandit, now a sannyasi, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So, then they had a wonderful kirtan. And then, Shachi Mata, mother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when she was informed, when she came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is on his way to Vrindavan, so she requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that don't go to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is very far away from Mayapur. So if you go to Vrindavan, I will never get any news about you. So if you really want to go, stay in some holy place, go to Jagannath Puri, which is very close. And she mentions that it is like in two rooms in the same home. So I'll keep getting your news, because so many devotees go for Rath Yatra, annual Rath Yatra. So I'll keep getting to hear about you and your activities and your welfare. So we can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he took sannyas, but that sannyas was not giving up things very artificially, but actually accepting a bigger family, the whole society as a family. So he was not very, insensitive to the request of his mother, and to give pleasure to his mother, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna himself, he incarnated as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he accepted the request of Shachi Mata. And he, along with his associates, he started to go to Jagannath Puri. So previously there were no airplanes or trains, some carriages, but then the usual way of going was walking. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they started walking, and actually they were not walking, they were doing kirtan. And then they started coming to closer to Jagannath Puri. On the way they went to different places. They visited a very famous place of the name Rimuna, where also there is a wonderful temple of Gopinath. That's also a very big story, someone else can speak some other time. And then from there we arrived at Cuttack, which is a town just before Jagannath Puri. And there, when they arrived there, so there is a famous temple of Gopal. And they came to take darshan of the deities. They stayed overnight in that temple. And while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to take the wonderful darshan of Gopalji, and they had a wonderful kirtan. And then while they were staying overnight in the temple, Nityananda Prabhu, he started telling about his visit to Sakshi Gopal previously. So Nityananda Prabhu, as we know, that earlier on he had traveled all over the all over India in different holy places, and he had also visited Sakshi Gopal temple. And when he had come there, so he had heard the story of how Gopalji came there through local devotees, and then he started narrating this story to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda mentioned that previously there were two Brahmanas who were staying in a town of the name Vidyanagar in South India. And as was the custom previously, that people used to visit different holy places, and these two Brahmins, one of them was a little older and the other one was young. So the both of them, they started on to this pilgrimage, going to different, visiting different holy places. And on their visits to different holy places, they went to Gaya, then they went to Kashi, that is Varanasi, and Prayag. And finally, they arrived at Vrindavan, which is the holiest of all holy places for Vaishnavas. So, when they arrived there, so in Vrindavan is a very, right now what we see Vrindavan, the town of Vrindavan, is just a small portion which is, Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is called as Panchakroshi Vrindavan, that is Panch Kos mein hai wo. But Vrindavan actually includes Nandagaon and Barsana and Govardhan. So Vrindavan is a very big, the biggest of all the forests. And there are other 12 major forests in Vrindavan. So they went to all the different forests in Vrindavan, and then they came to Vrindavan forest. So all the other 12 forests, and then last they arrived at Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, they went to different ghats on the bank of river Yamuna. So there are ghats like Keshi Ghat. So that's the place where Lord Krishna, he killed the Keshi demon. And then there is a ghat of known as Kaliya Ghat. So that's the place where Lord Krishna chastised Kaliya and then drove him away from Vrindavan. So they went to all these different ghats, took their holy bath, and then they arrived at this temple, a very beautiful, very gorgeous temple of Gopal. It is mentioned that after the disappearance of Lord Krishna, his grandson, great-grandson Vajranabh, he had many temples built in Vrindavan, to commemorate the different pastimes that Lord Krishna had done in Vrindavan, and built all those temples so that when devotees come visit, so they can actually worship the Lord and remember him. So one of the temples that he made was of this Gopal. So these Gopal deities, they were actually carved, had been commissioned and carved by Vajranabh, the great grandson. So they are like 5000 plus years. So when these two Brahmanas, they arrived at this Gopal temple, so they were very happy and very delighted to see the wonderful darshan of Gopal. And they chanted the holy names of Gopal, and they heard different pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And then they were so much attracted to the form of Krishna as Gopalji that they decided to stay 2 or 4 days in the temple. And then they were staying there. And while they were staying, so this old Brahman, he was so pleased by the services that this younger Brahman had done for him. So he actually wanted to express his gratitude. And he was feeling so grateful that this young Brahman, although he is not a relative, but he has served him so well. So, we see that it's an important, it's part of culture that person serves the elders. So, in Mahabharata, in Udyog Parva, at one point, Dhritarashtra, he summons Vidur. Vidurji, and he is very disturbed and he is asking his different, you know, counsel and advice. So Vijayji, he is describing about the different qualities of Pandavas, and he is contrasting them with the qualities of his sons, the Kauravas. And he says that Abhivadana Shilasya Nityam Vridhopasevinam Chatvari Vardhayanteda Ayur Vidya Yashobalaha. He says that a person who is always serving and hearing from his guru and the spiritual masters, Gurujan, and serving elders, Sada Vridhopasevanam, Nitya Vridhopasevanam. So, and he is also serving, respecting and serving the elders. So here, you know, when in you know, Vedic scriptures and in Sanskrit, Vridha word is used. So that is Vridhi, or one who has increased, or you know, has accumulated. One is number of years experience in this world, and second is the accumulation of knowledge. So someone may be small in age, but then he may have lot of knowledge, so he is also elder or vriddha, or is recipient of proper respect. So a person who is respecting elders and those who have knowledge, so what happens? These four things increase every day in his life, and that is ayu, his age, vidya, his knowledge, yasha, his respect, and bala, his strength. So this Brahman, he was serving this old Brahman so nicely, and that pleased the elder Brahman, that he wanted to reciprocate with this younger Brahman's service. And he mentions that, you know, if I don't show my gratitude, then, you know, the word is kritagya. So I acknowledge your services. So if I don't express my gratitude, then I am a very miser person, because a cultured person is one who actually, you know, acknowledges what others have done for him. But there are others who are called as kritagna, that they actually totally neglect what others have done. In fact, sometimes they may say, what have you done for me? So these are the two different, you know, attitudes which actually distinguish between a cultured person and not so cultured. So he says that I want to honor you, and I want to show you respect for, you know, what services you have done for me. You have served me in such a way that even my own son would not serve. This whole journey that we went through, you know, starting from South India and coming up to North India, Vrindavan, going to so many holy places, walking. But you never let me feel any kind of fatigue. In every way you served me. So he took care of his comfort, his resting, his food, everything. He took care of everything. And this Brahman was so pleased. And then, not just the physical service, but what had he done? You know, he had actually facilitated this old Brahman's visiting the holy places and having the wonderful darshan of the Lord and helping him in his spiritual life. So that is one thing which can never be repaid. So this old Brahman, he was so much moved by his service, so he said that I want to reciprocate with you properly, and I have a desire that I want to marry my daughter to you. So He said that if I did not show you any respect, I would be ungrateful. And therefore, I promised to give you my daughter in charity. And then, as soon as this young Brahman, he hears that, so he says, how is that possible? No, you are a very aristocratic Brahman, you are a very aristocratic person, very wealthy, very learned, coming from very high family background. On the contrary, myself, the young Brahman is saying, I am neither learned, nor I am very wealthy, nor do I have a very, huge family background, or coming from very famous or respectable family background. So how is that possible? There is no compatibility. So how is that possible? It's not possible. It does not happen that way. So, relations develop between equals, but I am in no way any way equal to your family and learning and wealth. So he says that when he says like this, the older Brahman says, but she is my daughter, so, and I have decided to give you, so who will stop me? So he says, but what about your society, your family, your friends? They will not allow that. Who will accept? So there is kind of some exchange of contrary views, the Brahman, but he is fixed, the elder one. And he says that, I have decided and I am going to marry my daughter to you. So then this young Brahman, he knows that it's a difficult proposal, but he is insisting, so I have to serve him. So he says, if you are really saying the truth, then I want to repeat the same thing in front of Gopal. And let Gopal be the witness. And then they both go in front of the deities of Gopal, Krishna. And then the Brahman, he actually says again that in reciprocation of the services that you have done for me and helped me and ensured my comfort in every way possible, in reciprocation, being grateful to your services, I will marry my daughter to you. So he speaks that in front of Krishna, Gopal. And then when he leaves, so this young Brahman, he says to Krishna, Gopal, that if there is any difficulty, if anything goes wrong, I will call you as witness. So he speaks that to Krishna, that there may be difficulty, he already envisaged that, and he said, if something happens, so please know that I will call you as witness. And then he also leaves. And then they again start their return journey back to Vidyanagar. So when they arrive in their village, so they go to their respective homes. And some days pass. And this old Brahman, he is thinking, I have given this vow, I have made this promise in front of Krishna, that I'll marry my daughter. So I should fulfill that. But I have to first let my family members know that this is what I have made the promise. And then one day, with some hesitation, he kind of reveals to his family members, his son is there, elder son, and his wife and other relatives, they are present. And then he says that I have given a promise that I will marry my daughter to this such and such Brahman with whom I went for pilgrimage. And as soon as they hear that, there is a huge turmoil in the house. So the son becomes very angry. He says, how is that possible? What is his standard? How can I see my sister getting married to a poor man? what is his family background? This is not possible. How did you do that? He said, see, whatever it is, but I have made this promise. And then the wife starts crying, and all the other relatives, they start accusing this old Brahman. How is this possible? You know, why did you give such a promise? And then the wife, she starts crying and she says that if you do this, I will commit suicide. And now this Brahman is under great pressure from his relatives, from his son, from his wife. And he is kind of thinking, praying to the Lord, my dear Lord, you know, please save me in this situation. And, you know, the son of the Brahman, he says that you just don't discuss this thing with anyone. And if at all this young Brahman comes to remind you, you just speak a lie. That is, you just have to say, I don't remember making such a promise. And then rest I will take care. So he says like that, and the Brahman is feeling very bad, but he is so much pressurized by his family that he just becomes very morose, keeps quiet. And then the other day, this young Brahman, he arrives at his house. And he says that, my dear sir, we both went together on pilgrimage, and while in Vrindavan, you had given this promise. So now, why are you quiet? Why are you not fulfilling your promise? And while he is speaking like this, this old man, he is feeling very sad, and he just keeps quiet. He is not able to say anything, and hearing that this young Brahman has come, so the son, he comes from inside and he comes with a stick and he says that you are a cheater and you are telling a lie. And then he kind of, you know, comes to beat him, so this young Brahman, he just runs away for his life. And the other day, then this young Brahman, he speaks to all the different, you know, elders in the village and arranges a meeting where, you know, all these, you know, respectable men of the society, they are informed by him of what had happened. And then this such and such promise is given by this old person that, you know, he'll marry his daughter. And he took this as a vow in front of Gopal. And now he is going against his vow. So, you know, you please see, please call him. And then they call this old man. So his other relatives, his son also comes. And then all these respectable men, they ask this old man that, did you make this kind of promise that you will marry your daughter with this Brahman? So he is praying inside in his heart that, oh Krishna, you know, I have to tell a lie, but you know, I am in a very difficult situation. I don't want to break my promise. That is my desire in the heart of my hearts. But at the same time, I can't see my family, my wife or others committing suicide. I want to keep my promise, at the same time see that my family members, nothing happens to them, they are alive. So sometimes or almost always Krishna gets into, or God gets into, this kind of difficult situations that now he has to fulfill the promise also, and also ensure that none of the relatives, they kind of, you know, get affected. So he prays like that to Krishna, which is kind of a very difficult situation, right? You know, for God also. So then he prays like that, and then he says, I am going to speak a lie, please protect me. And then he says, I don't remember making any kind of promise like this. I don't remember. And as soon as he says that, so then this son, he actually starts speaking in a very, angry and harsh way, and speaking all false allegations against this young man, saying that actually this young man, when he took my father for pilgrimage, my father was carrying a lot of money. And this man, out of greed, he actually stole all the money away and then raised a hue and cry saying that some dacoits have stolen all the money. And then he fed my father intoxicating thing, a poisonous plant, dhatura, and made my father crazy. And now he is saying that my father made such and such promise. He is actually telling a lie. And he says, what is his standard? How is that possible that my father would give such a vow, such a promise? So then all these respectable elders, gentlemen of the society, nowadays we have court system where all the justices, everyone files a petition or goes to the court, and we really don't know that they are really respectable gentlemen. Most of the times they get the position just by getting some degrees, which does not really ensure the character. The colleges, they just give us some rankings and some certificate of reproduction of some information which has been just mugged and repeated. But how much the character has developed, that is no one certifies. So that's why Srila Prabhupada many times would say that the present education system actually does not educate, but it really slaughters the spiritual inclination and character of a person. And we can actually experience what's happening in different colleges all around Bombay and other places. So these gentlemen who were present, which traditionally they called as panchayat, so these people, they started thinking, yes, we have seen many times that a person, out of greed for wealth, they actually do all sorts of things which should not be done, and they commit some crimes, and they also commit some things like telling a lie. So they were thinking like that this young Brahman has spoken a lie probably and did these things because of greed for wealth. So then still they ask him that if you are really saying that he has made a promise, is there some evidence that he actually gave a promise? Was there any witness who heard that? And then this young man, he said, yes, there was a witness, and that was Gopal. The deities of Gopal Krishna in Vrindavan, in this temple. And this promise was solemnly affirmed in front of Krishna. So then this old Brahman, he says, yes, what he is saying is true. That I now remember, I made a promise in front of Krishna, Gopal, in this temple in Vrindavan. And if this man can bring Krishna, can bring the witness, then I promise I will marry my daughter. And then hearing that, this son, his son, who although from Brahman family, but he was kind of atheistic, did not really believe. So he was thinking, how can a deity be a witness? How is that possible? Witness means they have to speak, right? They have to reproduce. So, even if I say yes, but he is not going to be successful getting the witness here. So he says, all right, if that is the case, and if he gets the witness here in this village, in front of everybody, if the witness can give the evidence that this kind of promise was given, then I agree that we will marry our sister to this young Brahman. So then this Brahman becomes satisfied that okay, and then he says, fine, so you both have agreed, now let's put it in writing. Because one time you have kind of, you know, gone against your promise, now again it should not repeat. So he asks in front of all these villagers, and they put it in writing that if witness is, you know, comes and gives evidence, then the marriage will take place. And then the other day, this young man, he actually starts going to Vrindavan. He goes to Vrindavan and reaches the temple of Gopal. And in front of the deities, Gopalji, he relates everything what happened. And then he says, praise to Krishna, that I know that this old man, he is a devotee, he is a Vaishnava, and he wants to fulfill his promise, but he is being pressurized by his family members. And that's the reason, although he did not want to tell a lie, I know it for certain, but he spoke like this. So, I am not interested in getting married to his daughter, but I want to serve this Brahman, to serve your devotee, to protect his vow. Because he has taken a vow, a promise in front of you, and if he becomes untruthful, then that will destroy his devotional service. And that is very bad. And that will not be serving you and neither serving your devotee. So, to protect the vow of your devotee, I have come here. And now, I am petitioning you, I am requesting you, please come as a witness. And then he also says that when I had left, I had mentioned to you that if there is any difficulty, you have to come as witness. So now, you please come as witness and, you know, let the promise taken by this devotee be fulfilled. And in this way, when he is praying, very with great faith and with great emotion, so the deity, he speaks and he says that, okay, you go back. And in front of all these people, when you ask me, I will appear there and I will give the witness. You go. So he says, no, that is not possible. Because you were the witness, you, Gopal, deity, so even if you appear in forehand form there, they will not accept you. So although, you know, we know from Shastra that Krishna and Vishnu, they are non-different. Krishna and Vishnu, they are one and the same. They are just different forms of Krishna. As it is mentioned in Brahma Samhita, that Deeparchireva yathantara bhyupetya. That from one lamp, another lamp is lighted, but all the lamps are of the same potency. So similarly from Krishna, so many different incarnations come. So many different forms of Lord Vishnu, Ram, Ramadi Murti Shukalaniyamene Tishta. So, these are all different forms of the Lord, but they are one and the same. So, there is actually no difference between Krishna and Vishnu. So, Krishna is saying, you go, I'll appear there. But he says, no. You have to come personally. So then he says, Krishna is speaking. So this is a dialogue going on between Krishna and this devotee. So he says, but I am a deity. How do you expect me to go? How do you expect me to walk? Have you ever heard deity walking? So he says that we have neither heard deity talking. Where has a person heard deity talking like this? So if you can talk, then you can also walk. And then with this logic, Krishna is actually defeated. So he says, all right, I'll come, but there is a condition. So he says, what? So he says, first, you have to lead me to your village. So you have to walk in front and I'll follow you. So he says, okay. And then, you should not look behind whether I am following. So he says, wow, how will I understand whether you are actually coming behind? It's not that some next village, because from South India, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that it took 100 days for the deities to come back to, you know, this Vidyanagar. So he says, I have walked 100 days, so many kilometers, and I find that you are not following me, so what will happen? So he says, no, you can hear the anklets, the ankle bells in my feet ringing. So by that you will know that I am following you. So he says, okay. And then he says, and you should offer me 1 kg of rice every day. That's the bhoga that you should offer every day. 1 kg of rice. So they say, okay, fine, agreed. So he says, next day, tomorrow, we'll start. I say, okay. And then the next day, then they start walking. And while walking, so this devotee, he is very happy that Krishna is coming. So he is chanting all throughout the way, that Krishna Govinda, Govinda Gopal, like that. So he keeps chanting the names of Krishna and keeps hearing the accompaniment of the tinkling and jingling bells of Krishna's lotus feet. And then every day he would offer 1 kg of rice. And like that, they came at the outskirts of this devotee's village. And there he thought that if the villagers see the deities here, they will accept that Krishna has come from Vrindavan. So let me turn around and see whether he is still there. And he turns around and Krishna is standing there. So he is like, and then Krishna says, Gopalji, he tells this devotee that now you go, I will stand here only, I will not come any further ahead as promised. So now you go and assemble all the villagers and bring them here. And then all the villagers, they come, they see the deities and they are so happy. And this old Brahman and his son, they come. And then, you know, Krishna then speaks as a witness. He then gives the evidence that yes, there was a promise made, and then so according to the promise it should be executed. And then, you know, the young man is duly married to this old man's daughter. So the one verse which comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that actually Nityananda Prabhu says that Pratiman ahe tumi sakshat Vrajendra Nandan. That actually Krishna, you are not a deity, you are not a stone. Although you may appear in that form, but you are really the son of Nanda Maharaj. And Vipralagi karatumi akarya karan. And for the sake of your devotees, you do even things which are not done in normal circumstances. So like that, you know, so when the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears this story from Nityananda Prabhu, he becomes so happy, and then they have again wonderful kirtan. So, You know, there are so many different lessons that can be learned from this story. The first and foremost lesson is that, you know, actually this whole story is centered around this important quality of honesty. The purpose why this young man went all the way back to Vrindavan and get Krishna again, you know, Krishna as a witness. So, is that he wanted to see that, you know, the promise that this devotee has made, you know, he should be able to maintain his honesty. Although he wanted to, but because the circumstances happened in such a way that he is not able to keep his vows. He is not able to keep his promise, fulfill his promise. His honesty is on stake. And just to maintain and to protect his character, his honesty, this young man, he took so much trouble. So that is one very important thing, that you know how this quality of honesty is so important. And it is mentioned that, you know, there are four pillars of religion. So it's mercy and you know, honesty and cleanliness, purity, like that. So non-violence. So it is mentioned that of the four pillars, the last one which is still remaining is honesty. And so it's such an important quality. In fact, in various Niti Shastras, it is mentioned that how there are different kinds of ornaments that people adorn themselves with. It is mentioned that Hastasya Bhushanam Danam. The real ornament of hand is not bangles or a Rado watch, but it's actually giving charity. Hastasya Bhushanam Danam. Satyam Kanthasya Bhushanam. And the ornament of neck is speaking truth. And Shastrasya Bhushanam, Shrotrasya Bhushanam Shastram. The ornaments for ears is to hear from Shastras, the way we are hearing now from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the verse says that what is the need for any other kind of ornament? If we have these ornaments, they actually glorify the real character of the person. That the ornament of giving charity is the ornament for the hands, and you know, speaking the truth always is the ornament for the neck, not just any gold necklace. And the ornament for ears is to hear Hari Katha, to hear Hari Kirtan, and hearing from the Shastras. So, and this is one very important quality, you know, of honesty. And for that, for the sake of maintaining the honesty of this devotee, Lord Krishna, he came from Vrindavan in his deity form. And we see that sometimes people don't really understand Krishna in the form of deity. They think that it is idol. Like one lecture I was hearing of His Holiness Radhanath Swami, which was given in 1993 in Khar. So, at Mahaprabhu's house. So, there he told this story and he was saying that how there are many religions, some of the scriptures, they actually in very strict terms, they say against the any kind of idol worship. Worshipping any kind of form. But then Maharaj was mentioning that we see in almost all the religions they worship deities. They have their deities. He was mentioning that how one famous saint in the Christian tradition, Saint Francis of Assisi. So he, when he visited a church and there was a painting of Christ on the crucifix, so he actually, when he was praying to Jesus Christ, so he heard the painting and Jesus speaking to him that my church is in great disrepair and I want your help to fix it. And that's the time when Saint Francis decided to dedicate his life in service of the Lord and preach the message of God. And then later on he became a very great saint. So DT is not just, DT is, it is mentioned in the Vedic scriptures that they can appear in so many different forms. So, they can appear as, a form made of jewels, ratna, or they can be made of some metals like gold or, 8 very valuable ashtadhatu, they say. And then, sometimes they can appear in the form of stone, and then they can appear in the form of wood and painting, and even the mental picture that we have. So these are the different ways. Of course, the deities, they are not any artificial, some imaginary forms, but they are authorized forms which are described in various scriptures. So, we can actually understand that at present the vision that we have, it's a material vision. We can actually see only the material forms. We can't see anything spiritual. When a person dies, everyone says, the relatives who assemble, they say that the person has left. Actually, who has left? The person is still there. But what is there? That's just the body. But the real person, the soul, the spiritual spark, that no one sees. We don't have the vision to see that. And Krishna says that each and every soul, we all are parts and parcels of the Lord Himself. Mama Ivamsho Jivaloke. So if we don't have sufficient vision to see the soul, which is just a fragment, a minute particle of the Lord, spiritual energy, so where do we have the vision to see the Lord Himself? So actually we don't have the vision. And that's why we see that when Arjun in the Bhagavad Gita, when he expressed in the 11th chapter that I want to see your Virat Roop, so Krishna says that it is not possible to see. I'll give you a Dadami Divya Chakshu. I'll give you the transcendental vision by which you can see. So, at present, the vision that we have is Charma Chakshu, as is mentioned. So it's, fleshy vision, because we are in the conception that we are this body. But we have to develop premanjan, as in Brahma Samhita it is mentioned, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So the devotees who have developed the vision of love, they can actually see, even within their heart, the wonderful form of Shyam Sundar manifesting always. So, the deities, they manifest in different authorized forms according to the scriptures. And we, on our part, we have to learn from the spiritual masters, from authorized representatives of Lord, through the scriptures, how to see the Lord. And then when we are seeing the Lord with a proper vision and attitude, then as Krishna mentions that ye yathamam prabadyante tam satayo bhajamyam, the way we approach the Lord accordingly reciprocates. So if we are seeing with our material vision and we perceive the deities to be just stone, then we will get the same reciprocation. But when we understand from the authorized scriptures that Krishna, out of great compassion, because the vision we have, it can't see anything except stone and wood and paint, right? We can't see beyond that. So Krishna very mercifully agrees to manifest in that way. So, you know, in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya of Shripad Ramanujacharya, so this year is the 1000th birth anniversary of Shripad Ramanujacharya, a very powerful Sri Vaishnava you know, sannyasi, and he preached the message of Lord throughout India, established so many important temples. So in the Sri Vaishnava philosophy, in their teachings, it is mentioned that Krishna, he actually can be perceived in different ways. And then there are, you know, he mentions that there are five different ways that the Lord can be perceived and we can reciprocate with the Lord. So they are like para, and then vyuha. So these are, you know, para, vyuha, vibhav or avatar, antaryami and archa. So these are the five ways in which the Lord manifests. And then to make it more understandable, analogy is given that just like para is compared to a vast ocean. So vast ocean, body of water, that's the primary source of water. So this para, manifestation of the Lord, is the original, you know, the Lord himself, Bhagavan, the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead, who is in spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan. So just like ocean is the source, this para is the source, is the source of everything in this world, both material and spiritual. That is the Lord himself. But he is also far away from us in the spiritual world. We are here in the material world. Just like the ocean, for everyone it's quite far away, right? It's not so much approachable and neither so much comprehensible to everyone. So then the second manifestation is vyuha, and that is the, you know, expansions of the Lord as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and then they expand into so many different forms in different planets in Vaikuntha. So that is compared to like the clouds. So although ocean is very far, but clouds are above us, but then still they are not so much approachable, isn't it? Unless they rain. And then we know from the Shastras that all the different incarnations that appear on this in this material world, on planet Earth, they are different forms, you know, which these vyuha incarnations they come. So that is the third form, third manifestation is avatar or vibhava, vibhava expansions. So they are the different incarnations or avatars of the Lord come at different times, like Rama, Narsimha, Varaha, Vamana, like that. As Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita that Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkitam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So I appear in different millenniums at different times to protect my devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. So they are compared to when the clouds shower and, you know, hit the mountain, and then so many rivers are formed. So in the form of river, water is more accessible than in ocean or cloud. But then as the nature of rivers is, only some rivers are perennial, but most rivers they appear and then they disappear. Or in the rainy season some lakes are formed and then they are manifest and then they are not unmanifest. So similarly the incarnations also, they have appeared in different times, like just 500 years back, 5000 years back, Krishna was there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. So all those who were there in that point of time, they got the benefit of darshan. But now we don't have it. So then Krishna, the fourth manifestation, to make himself more accessible, he is appearing as Antaryami, or Lord appearing as Super Soul in the heart of each and every one. Not just in the heart of each and every living entity, but as mentioned in Brahma Samhita, he is there in each and every atom in this universe, and also the gap between each and every atom. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. So this fourth manifestation of Antaryami, this is compared to like the water which is in the ground water. So every point on earth where we are standing, there is water inside, but then it takes great effort to reach that water. So similarly, each and every one of us, we have the Lord within our own, you know, our heart. He is always there. Krishna is always there. Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto. I am in each and everyone's heart, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So, although the Lord is there with each and every one of us, but then we have to take great effort, just like the groundwater is there, but then you have to drill, you have to do something to get that water. So we have to also, you know, practice great amount of purification and concentration to actually access the Lord in our heart. But then seeing our so much, you know, lack of capacity to approach the Lord being very merciful, he appears in the fifth form as Archa, as the deity manifestation. And then, in the form of deity, he makes himself very much available to each and every one of us, so that we have the opportunity to reciprocate with the Lord. We have the opportunity to serve the Lord. So this is a manifestation of the Lord, not because, you know, he is limited, but actually he is extending for benefit of all. For those who can see nothing but matter, he agrees to appear in the form like a matter, but he is not a matter. Because distinction between matter and spirit is for us, but not for the Lord. For him, everything is energy, whether it is bhinna prakriti or it is devi prakriti. So both are, you know, his energies, but he can manifest in different ways. So we see that actually this form of archa or deity form is a very, very merciful manifestation, incarnation of the Lord. And we see that in different traditions, as we mentioned, that although they may speak, but then they also do deity worship. As mentioned earlier, that when we are worshipping the form in the, you know, in a painting, that's also deity worship. So in any, you know, place of worship we go, so we have, you know, different forms. Like, you know, when a person is worshipping the crucifix and Jesus on that, it's a form, it's a deity. So, you know, there are so many temples, right? There are so many churches, we see that, you know, they also worship. And then, as Maharaj was mentioning in this verse, that in this lecture, that You know, and there are some who follow the Holy Quran, the Muslims. So every day they bow down 5 times, but they are bowing down in the direction of Mecca. That's the deity for them. They make a holy pilgrimage to that place, and then they worship that place. And then there is a, you know, very sacred stone which they worship. That's a deity. The book is a deity because you offer obeisances to the deity. You offer obeisances to the book. And then in Buddhism, we see that there are so many different forms of Lord Buddha. Smiling Buddha, standing Buddha, sleeping Buddha, right? So, these are all deities and everyone worships them, right? So, deity worship is there in practically all the different faiths. But what is important is to understand the difference between idol worship and deity worship. Idol worship is actually prohibited in the Vedic scriptures also. What is idol? Idol is some imaginary form which a person starts worshipping for fulfilling their own greed, their own materialistic ambitions and desires. But deity is the form where the person actually reciprocates by serving, by dedicating his energies, by dedicating his life in service, in a very humble state of mind. So the difference is in the mood, and the difference is of course in the scriptural injunctions. One is imaginary form and another is authorized form. So of course there are so many different things that can be discussed on difference between deity worship and idol worship. So there is a wonderful book written by His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, which is called as Ideal Worship or Idol Worship. And that's available in our gift shop. So if anyone wants to know more about it, they can purchase the book from the gift shop. So, yeah, see, and we see that this process of deity worship, it actually helps the devotee, the person, to channelize his energies, to concentrate his mind, and to dedicate and serve, use all our senses in the service of the Lord. And, you know, that is the very merciful incarnation of the Lord. And, as Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, ye yathamam prapadyante, when, with our faith and sincerity, when we worship the Lord also reciprocates. And this story we saw that how when this young man, he actually went to Vrindavan and expressed his heart, and Krishna reciprocated, and he actually came all the way from Vrindavan to Vidyanagar, right? And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes a very nice, actually, composes a very nice verse glorifying this pastime. He says, Padbhyam chalanya pratima swarupo brahmanya deva devohi shatah gamyam desham yayo viprakrite dhuteham tam sakshi gopalamaham josmi. He says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahmanya Deva, who appeared as Sakshi Gopal to benefit a Brahman. For 100 days he travelled through the country, walking on his own legs. Thus his activities are wonderful. And we see that, you know, different acharyas, even in the Vaishnava tradition, we see acharyas like Sribad Ramanujacharya, who established so many temples and wonderful, gorgeous deity worship in Srirangam, in Varadaraj temple in Kanchipuram, Tirupati Balaji, so many temples in Melkote, right? And Sripad Madhvacharya, we see that, you know, the very temple, very established the deities of Krishna in Udupi, after so many centuries, still the standard of worship is so high that he had made a promise that for all the, you know, in his lineage, spiritual lineage, you know, all the sannyasis henceforward, they will be worshipping you every day. And that is still continuing. All the sannyasis in the, you know, parampara, they have been worshipping every day the deities with such great dedication and purity. And then, you know, we see here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself relishing this wonderful, you know, narration of Sakshi Gopal. And all the different followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, they also established so many temples in Vrindavan. Radha Govinda by Rupa Goswami, Radha Madan Mohan. And we see that there are so many, you know, wonderful stories how the deities were reciprocating with these devotees, of how, you know, Madan Gopal or Madan Mohan, he would reciprocate with Sanatan Goswami. And, you know, in reciprocation of the love of Gopal Bhatta, Lord Vishnu in the form of Shaligram Shila, he actually manifested as Radha Raman. The temple is still, you know, the deities are still in Vrindavan, worshipped so gorgeously in Vrindavan. So we can see that, you know, it's authorized worship of Lord Krishna himself who is present here. And, you know, when a sincere person, when a sincere devotee, he serves, the Lord reciprocates in wonderful ways. And another lesson that we can learn is that how this young Brahman wanted to serve this older devotee. And for serving him, he was ready to go through any amount of sacrifice. So he wanted, he understood that this man wants to actually fulfill his vow, but he is unable to because of the circumstances created by his family members. And to serve him, to help him fulfill his vow, although he himself is a self-satisfied Brahman, a devotee, not interested in any kind of material affairs, but he was ready to take that sacrifice. And as in this lecture which I was hearing, His Holiness Sadhanand Swami says that he made such a great sacrifice of getting married. It's such a great sacrifice, he was mentioning, you know, otherwise who would want to get married, you know, and then so many things that happen afterwards. But he, just to fulfill his vow, he underwent this sacrifice. And he undertook this arduous journey of going back to Vrindavan, 100 days walking on feet and again 100 days coming back. So, you know, this is the mood of a devotee, that he is ready to go to any extent to serve the devotees. And that's the very essential mood which the devotees should cultivate, and devotees do cultivate, that Gopir Bharatur Pad Kamalayor Das Dasanudas. So when we all, you know, when we all come together in this wonderful satsang, so the primary, you know, mood is that somehow we come together and help and serve each other by helping us, each other, remember Krishna, speak about Krishna, and chant the holy names together, and thus serve in the best possible way. Because as in the morning, His Holiness Jayadvait Maharaj was saying, that there are so many other institutions which are helping and serving people, the general masses, in so many different ways. But all that service, because that is only on the platform of body, which is destructible, which is temporary, which is fleeting. So all that service that is done on the bodily platform is of actually no consequence. So the best possible service that can be done to humanity at large and to our fellows, our friends, our family members, and that is to serve them in a way that they don't have to again come back in this material world, suffering the burning, the threefold miseries of this world. And that is by helping each other to somehow or other remember the Lord and chant the holy names. And we see that to facilitate that, as mentioned earlier, that actually most of the times, if we also reflect in our own lives, Krishna most of the times is more eager to benefit us than we ourselves are eager to benefit us in the best possible way. So we don't understand our real swartha, but Krishna always wants to give the most perfect benediction, that is most beneficial for us. And so, as we mentioned, that he appears as deity, and then not only that, so the deity in the example is like the water coming from the tap in the house. So everyone can have the water connection in the house and the tap, and whenever you want, access the water. So the deity comes to each and everyone's house, and whenever you want, Krishna is there waiting for our service. And we offer food, and that becomes prasad purified. We chant, we offer some worship. So that way, Krishna is always ready, eager. As it is mentioned in the fourth canto, there is one verse where Krishna is described that bhrityanugraha kataram, that Krishna is intensely eager to give anugraha, to give his benediction to his servants. Bhrityanugraha kataram, that is his name. Katar, very intense, waiting to give benediction. But most of the times the window is empty, no one is standing there, the line is not there, line is on other counters where dhanam dehi and janam dehi and putra dehi and all those things, right? So seeing this condition, Krishna makes another step, and he comes in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give the most benedicting incarnation of the Lord, and that is the holy names. And that, if we consider this analogy, so this is like, no acharyas are saying that, but if we were to understand in modern context, so this is someone giving us the bottle of water. So you can carry the bottle with the water everywhere. So deities are in temple, but the holy name we can chant everywhere. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's like mobile deity, as we carry our mobiles, right? So, in the form of the holy name, Krishna, he breaks all barriers. And even in our mobile, the Lord appears as the holy name in the form of our ringtone. Right? So he is making himself so much accessible to us. But the problem is that we are not eager many times. Right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding this situation of ours, he gave this wonderful process of chanting the holy names. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalau nastyeva, 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 gatiranyatha. And this is practically the only way. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way than or except chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Chanting the holy names of the Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, the highest benefit that we can do, the best way that we can serve each other is to remind each other of always chanting the holy names. So when we come together, so that becomes satsang when there is sankirtan. So when we all come together and chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the best way we can actually serve each other. And with that mood, when we all come together, then that can give us real happiness and satisfaction. And that's the real definition of real friendship, right? So these are few things that we can see, we can learn from this wonderful story, that how the devotee, he always values the importance of the quality of honesty, which is very important. The Lord, he is very merciful, that he comes in the form of deity and also in the form of the holy name to give us the highest benediction and to reciprocate with our love. And he wants to actually give. There is one very nice verse in Brihad Bhagavatamrita it is mentioned that Krishna as Paramatma, he does not get so much relish when the yogis are meditating on him and they are in union with the Lord in the form of meditation, that they are in samadhi. But he gets more relish when he is reciprocating with his devotees, and that's why he loves the Pandavas more, and he is always there with them as their servant, as their messenger. Sometimes he became he allowed Arjun to sleep on his lap, so become bed, and becoming friend like that. So, he actually is a person and wants to reciprocate. And so, when we come to the temple and, when we are standing in front of the Lord, it's not that, it's all upon us actually. How much eager we are and how much sincere we are to pray to the Lord, and Krishna reciprocates. Krishna actually hears our prayers and fulfills our sincere prayers, of course, only those which are beneficial for us. So, when we come to the Lord, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachati, then when we offer with love and devotion even a fruit, a flower, some water, or a leaf, Krishna is fully satisfied and he accepts it. So when we come to the temple and we offer fruits, we offer flowers, actually Krishna accepts them. So these are few things that we learn, and I am very grateful for having given the opportunity to speak. I think the time is, if there are any questions, maybe one or two questions we can take. Otherwise, we'll act in the best interest of each other by engaging in chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sakshi Gopal ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Kindly be seated. First of all, we would like to welcome all those guests who have come to our Sunday Fish program for the very first time. सबसे पहले हम उन भक्तों का स्वागत करना चाहेंगे जो आज हमारे संडे फिश कार्यक्रम में पहली बार पधारे हैं. Our reception team of